Well, Chef, well, Chef, Gatinia, Goji, and DL the Beat, the Misha, Brenda McDavnia, and Shaw A Highland Radio. Welcome, everyone, to the DL the Beat. I want to thank Katie for the news, the legendary Ivan Borland for the Power Hour Plus. Joe Dex is here producing as ever. He makes enough. He makes things look easy. He makes things look easy. I was about to go into a freestyle there, Joe, and I actually changed my mind, which is probably good for everybody listening. Joe's here, DJ, producer, he's entrepreneur, a man of many, many talents, of course, looking after us. This evening we have Pep, the Pep Guardiola of the Glen, Gary McDade, in studio. G-Man, how are you?
Thanks, Brendan, thank you.
Good to hear from you, lad. We're going to speak shortly with Neil Loughran of the Irish News, and later on we're going to talk as well with St Union's manager Barry Meehan. We're going to do a special club feature just on the start of this new season, how the new rules are affecting club football and how they're being officiated. We're going to talk as well about the under-20s, of course, Ulster final coming up in Own Big this Wednesday. Myself and Oisín and Brendan Kilcoyne will be up bringing you all the action. Looking forward to that for sure, folks. Just from the weekend, we had a big one in the hurling, 23.1 over our neighbours Tyrone. And you know, after last day out, Donegal very unlucky in their defeat to Wicklow, and had a lot of wides in the game, so pressure was on to get the first one of the season and championship. And Mickey McCann's side did that. There's a couple of minutes from Mickey here just on his reaction to the victory over Tyrone.
Mickey, a good win there, probably more comfortable than what was expected, but it gives you a good boost in the Christy rank.
It does, and I suppose we've been probably very unlucky. We had a good performance against Derry, and you know, Derry just had that wee bit more strength than us, and a wee bit more experience, got them over the line near the end. But last week against Wicklow, you know, we were the better team. We had something like 17 wides and an old wet day, and beat by a point. It was hard to take because it was a game you felt that we should have been winning home in Letterkenny. So we had a wee grip, get the boys, you know, minds right for importance of this game, even to keep your status in the Christy ring. There's still two matches left, and Tyrone could upset somebody, and we'll be trying to get another result, but it's a big 2 points for us. But mainly, you know, we're just, that's our first victory at Christy ring level ever, I think. So we've only been twice, but we'll take it. We get a bit of confidence from it and move on to the London game now.
And like, I suppose Tyrone probably came into this game expecting to, you know, to really challenge, but it didn't turn out like that. How crucial do you feel your goals were?
Well, we talked at the start of the match that, you know, goal chances have been letting us down, and went very direct today. You know, we asked a lot of questions there, full back line in the first 5 or 10 minutes, and that was a target of ours, and we let it in there and asked questions off them. And look, we got 3 goals, and we had a couple other chances that we could have took away too. But you have to hand it to our forwards today, but they turned up, you know, Declan Coulter and Josh Connolly and Jared Gilmore, and them all turned up and scored impressively today, and that's something we're missing over the last couple of weeks. We had 4 or 5 forwards going bad in the one day. Today, you know, we had 3 or 4 boys on form, and that's what it's all about.
And how hopeful now would you be of getting, you know, from 2 games left, getting the points needed to retain your status for 2026?
Look, well, London's supposed to be very good. They run Derry tight last week, so saying that, Derry got a tight against ourselves. So home in Letterkenny, we'll be pushing hard for that London game to try to get another 2 points, you know, and God knows where that takes you then, going into the last day, because depending on the results today, you know, London's lost once, Meath's lost once, so we both them to play. Now we've lost twice, but if we were to beat both of them, they've all lost twice, so it's all to play for, I think.
All to play for. Fair play to Mickey McCann and his men there. Brilliant performance at the weekend. Just put a wee message out to a couple of wee divvies. They're to get their bed soon, very shortly. They're watching in. Of course, you can watch the show live on Facebook and on YouTube. Just type on Highland Radio, and you can see the lovely face of Gary McDade, who's here in studio. And we're also joined on the Zoom, the magic of Zoom, by Neil Loughran of the Irish News. You there, Neil?
I am indeed, Brenton. How are you?
Great to hear from you, lad.
You too, son. How you keeping?
Oh, the very best, sir.
Good, listen, good.
We only had a quick chat up at Clovis there yesterday. Of course, you're a down man. Yeah. Tell me, just got into the game. You know, obviously, trying to make a case for Down. Was there any case in the county of a potential shock? You know, obviously, running Armadia point last year. Was there any thought that you could pull off something in the game yesterday?
Probably not, because
the way that things went with the Armagh game last year, I mean, that was a very specific game plan, like to completely spoil, you know, and under the previous rules, you could do that, or you could, you know, you could set a plan to do that. But with the current rules and the three up, you know, you can't really go out the same way. You can't at all go out the same way. So I had a feeling that Down would have been working on something to try and maybe catch Donegal by surprise. And really the nature of Down's quarterfinal win over Fermanagh was perfect in a lot of ways, because even though they were poor and lucky to get out of that game, that's how Conor Lavery likes to go into these big games. Like, it just is. That's one thing you've learned over the years with whether it's with Kilcoo or Down or whatever. Like, you know, there's nothing that I remember talking to him after the beat Laois in the semi-final of the Tailteann Cup a couple of years ago, and they ran in something like 7 goals and 14 points, and he wasn't happy, you know, like, yeah. Because that's just, you know, he wants to have that bit of a, you know, something, bit of bite in the guys in a week and into something like this. So I sort of expected that there would be a reaction yesterday, but in terms of any sense within the county of an upset, I don't think there was any way you could make that argument, really. Like, you know, I couldn't have made that argument at all. Like, you know, barring everything going horrendously bad for Donegal and having a real off day and Down just shooting the lights out, which was a big ask, you know. So
huge ask, Gary. You've been managing so long. Just the example that Neil gave there about Conor Lavery previously not wanting, was Donegal in that mindset? Is it very hard for a team to be such favourites going into a match and they really hit the high notes in terms of that bit of championship kind of pace and power when everything's pointing towards the fact that you will go through?
Yeah, Donegal were really in a hiding to nothing yesterday. Like, you know, it didn't really matter if they won by 10 points. You know, everyone expected one, or if they fell over the line, people would be nearly given out then that they didn't do enough against a team that was relegated to Division 3. Listen, you were talking about it after the game yourselves, about the semi-finals are there for one, and, you know, it doesn't really matter now. We're in the final, doesn't matter what way we got to the final. I think we got into the final quite comfortably. Like, you know, it was a 6.1 in the end. I think Down brought so much, you know, obviously Jim and Conor Lavery having worked together before, the year before Jim took over Donegal. He was in for quite a few sessions, of course, and was Down at that time, so he was. So, listen, both of them would have...
Who learned the most from that exchange?
See, that's what I was thinking. I was like, there was very little talk in the whole build-up to the match about this year. I was surprised that it was.
But did you not think, Gary, that same lack of talk, and I even looked at it, the other game, say the Derry game, the morning game, you had matchups, you could this player. I didn't see any of that in this match, and surely that has to get into players' heads a bit too.
Yeah. Listen, and you know, and you can plan all you want for it, but you know, if it's all they're hearing about is, you know, is, listen, you're going to be in the Ulster final, you know, and there's people saying, oh, listen, I'm howling off, I'm not going to Clonas, I was up last week for the morning game, I'm going to howl off now for the final, you know, and you know, but I thought Down, in fairness to them, they put a huge amount of work. You could see they put a massive amount of work in the training field in that very short period of time that they had, whatever it was, 7 days. You know, you could hear the coaching coming from the sideline about Lavery and that. You could hear them shouting, find the pockets, you know, in fairness to them. I think Armagh are probably major beneficiaries of what Down did yesterday, the way that they were able to pull Donegal off the arc, you know, and they created pockets of space there for them, and they got at them down the flanks as well. In particular, the two wing forwards for Down, Danny McGill and Eugene Brannigan, really hurt them going down the wings, but big because Donegal quite narrow, so they did. And then Wolf Down pulling players off the mark, and they were so patient, you know, like they were actually very lateral in the play. They're just killing the speed of the game, taking the pace out of it, you know. And Donegal sat in, and Down just went over and back. It was nearly a battle of what's who's going to blink first here, you know. So they did a huge amount of work and did. And I think at four four, Down were really happy. And then step up Sean Patton. The 1-1 that came after that was two Sean Patton kickouts. Unbelievable. Like, you know, it's where the goal came from. It's where the point came from.
That's the Patton boomer, isn't
it? That's where it put us 1-5-4 up. To me, that, I think it was the 11th minute or 14th minute, I can't remember now. But it was that was a turning point in the game. And I just thought, wow, you know, we weren't even playing well. And Down were probably giving it everything. So they were. And I'm just thinking, if you're those Down players and you're thinking, we're giving it everything and things are actually going quite well for us. Mm. We're 4-4 first quarter. And the next thing, Patton has these two unbelievable kickouts. It just opens a whole sea. So it does for Donegal. And they're in there. And if you're a Down player, that's a real kicker, kick in the stomach. It's a sucker punch. So it is a sucker punch for the management team, you know, that they were doing so well. And they had goal chances themselves, you know, later on as well in the game. But they didn't take them. Patton made a great save from the kick out that he gave away that time, and he probably should have squared it across. I think it was what do you call it, was inside. Big Pat Haverin was inside. He would have finished it for sure, you know.
Yeah. Neil, did you just on those points, Gary Mick? I was quite impressed. You could see Conor Lafferty. He's obviously a smart guy. Neil, you know, he'd along with his obviously all his time Kilcoo, that brilliant run with the under-20s. And, you know, you could see he was attempting to pull out that Donegal shield, something I'd seen very little teams attempt to do. You know, in terms of kind of the tactics, and I suppose, did you see a marked improvement from the Fermanagh match, from the Down lads?
Yeah, well, I mean, you referenced the Armagh game last year, and I suppose that was the similarity, was the level of discipline that was required and the focus that was going to be required for a game like this. And as Gary made the point there, they were so patient, going lateral, back and forward, back and forward. And that's, I suppose, but then there's two ways of looking at that. Like, because as you said, like, you know, you could hear Lafferty maybe saying, fine, look for the pockets. And Eugene Brannigan in particular, I thought, in the first half was really the one who was finding those gaps and piercing holes the odd time. But on the other side of it, I think there was a bit of a lack of conviction were down when there was opportunities, maybe those split seconds that opened up to maybe take the shot, and they just didn't have the I would say probably they just didn't maybe have the belief or you know, because and sometimes you could hear Kieran Mina, you know, saying don't force it. So I don't know, like it's a hard balancing act to play that kind of game, because if you're trying to work those couple of yards of space, well, when they come, and you see it with Donegal, you see it with McBrady, you know, he needs two steps and it's gone, you know. And a couple of times, you know, like James Guinness created a yard and sent it wide. Another couple of times, other boys maybe made a yard and then thought you could see them thinking about it and then just checking back and going on. And I think that's just, you can do so much on the training field in a week leading into a game like that, but it's very hard to I suppose get that confidence required to play that kind of game, because the thing about what Down was we're always going to need yesterday, and Gary made the point about, you know, when it was at 4-4 they would have been happy enough, and at 4-4 they had a goal chance themselves, you know, John McGill
sweeps a bad pass,
you know, Eugene Brannigan found him with a class pass and he went for the fist pass, and he possibly could have gone on himself and gone for goal. And that's, you know, that's like it's his fourth senior game for Down, you know what I mean? So there may be a lack of experience just in that moment and stuff. But, you know, 2 minutes later, then McBrady has the ball in the net. And I think that's just a snapshot of probably the difference between where these two teams are, because had Down scored that goal, then all of a sudden, maybe even, you know, the couple of James Guinness wides just before that, if they go over and then all of a sudden Down maybe have a 4 or 5 point lead, you know, although a 4 or 5 point lead counts for, you know, pretty little in the modern game, especially that early, then they're, you know, that's the comfort blanket that you kind of need, because Down aren't a good team at chasing necessarily a lead, you know, and they really probably needed that security of something to hold on to, something that would bring Donegal out and maybe allow Down then to counter and try and exploit a bit of space with the pace of Brannigan and McGill and Daniel Guinness and stuff. But it just, I just feel that was a real turning point, like that 2 minutes kind of gap between McGill chance and McBrady, like that was a huge switch and Donegal and Down probably never, I always felt Donegal from that point, even though it got, you know, Down threatened to rally in the second half, like I always felt Donegal were in control from that point, you know, and they looked in control from there.
Yeah, and you listen, you're a good man, Neil, if you think Donegal's ever going to come out. I don't know.
Sorry, come out.
That's not their style. No, I know what you're saying. Well, the game did ebb and flow a bit in terms of who was sitting deeper, and that. And Gary, just You know, you mentioned, we were talking about before about the mindset. So Donegal won 12-7 up at half time. Mm-hmm. Again, looking like the game's over, even from anybody's perspective, you're thinking, right, is that a very hard mindset again to reset at half time? Because I did say to Jim, we have a couple of words from there up in the online. We might get a listen to a few of them in a minute about at half time, because mm-hmm. there was no doubt Donegal were just looking to see out the game in the second half. But that's a very dangerous game to play.
It is. You know, and I think we did manage it really well, you know, and, you know, kind of touching some of Neil's points there, you know, it's, I just think we had the quality, you know, like down of quality, but we have more quality. And I think our players have a really incredible high skill set. Like, we play a lot of natural ball players who seem that the game comes very natural to them. I think our players' decision making is really good. It's at a really good level as well. So it is, you know, it's probably that year and a half now that they have under Jim, you can really see them come on so much, you know, and it's a difference probably in a team that's at the upper end of Division 1 and a team that's got relegated to Division 3. It's the skill sets to me and the decision making give us the edge yesterday. I thought our speed in transition, the time Patter Mogan and Kieran Moore took off, I mean, I don't know, Usain Bolt would be doing well to come off the shoulder for the two of them coming up the line, you know. No speed of transition, the athleticism we have in the team, it's a very frightening prospect for the likes of Down to face that yesterday, you know, when there's just too many holes to block. So there's if you're the Down manager yesterday, with the personnel that you have, like, I think they will be quietly happy with what they got out of the game yesterday. I mean, you know, that game could have got away from them. They didn't let it get away from them. In fairness, they kept going to the end, you know. So, you know, they'll go into the All-Ireland series now, you know, with a bit of confidence, you know. They weren't hammered or anything. They stayed in it, you know, and it's they'll be happy enough where that. And I thought the way we managed the game, you know, Jim was able to take off Murphy. So he was. He took off McBurty, took off Oisin Gallen, took off Fimber Rorty, of course, who was that big under-20. Ulster final Wednesday night, probably going into Fargo. Owen Michael Holm, he saw that he came on yesterday for Tyrone. I actually thought, you know, it goes back to your point at half time, we knew how to manage the game. People might say, oh, you're lucky enough if Shea Muller had squared that ball to the full forward at the end of the game, could be a different thing, but he didn't square it, and Patton made a great save. And listen, I just think our players have the know-how how to see out games.
Yeah. Neil, see them points there about Donegal, and you mentioned that there was a couple of opportunities I thought, yeah, the shot's on, and the Down player didn't go for it. You know, just looking at Donegal last few games, so different players are really stepping up. I mean, the game that Darrell Boyle and McBurty had against Derry, they didn't shoot the lights out then against Monaghan. But then, you know, Mogan, Thompson, the last day in particular, was so effective. Not so much last day, or Langan had a great game, but not in scoring. Is that the thing with a team like Donegal? You know, you stop it here and it comes here, or this player can step up. And again, you had McBurty coming back to form yesterday, and whereas for yourselves, I mean, Pat Havern, I mean, he is a master of his craft. By the way, I know he scores more than half your scores, but I mean, he did his job. You mentioned me before, likes a Liam Kerr, a couple of Byrne lads, maybe not in the mix there. Is it just a big ask for Down to keep putting out fires when they're so reliant on the likes of Haver and Dillerand?
Well, it is, because a team like Donegal, you know, they're at that top level for a reason. And as Gary said, whenever you have so many outlets there, like that Kieran Moore burst sort of 10 minutes from time was actually frightening, you know what I mean? Like, you were watching that going like, Christ, like, how is he going so fast at this stage of a game? Like, and you know what? We probably hadn't seen it from him all game. You know, he was starting to come in more in the second half. Mogan, the couple of times in the first half, again, Mogan was probably quiet enough by and large, you know, in terms of how influential we know he can be. But the two or three times that he did arrive on the shoulder, you know, Down were kind of caught a bit flat-footed. And it's very difficult that to... Whenever you're looking everywhere, as you said, Kieran Thompson, you know, wasn't heavily involved yesterday, but then you saw what he did against Monaghan six days earlier, and you know, so all these guys the Murphy, so forth, you know, like, there's an awful lot of fires to put out there, and for Down, you want to concentrate on what you know, on what you're going to do when you have the ball and when you have the scores, but there's such a big risk with every time, and everybody obviously knows like the risk that you take. When you lose possession against the Jim McGuinness team, whether it's this era or the last, you know, it's it's different than playing against any other, I think, you know, probably than coming up against any other team at the minute, because they attack with such intensity and such, you know, with such numbers. Once they get those turnovers, once they get the pace, like even I think, you know, you probably again just saw the wee bits of inexperience and stuff in Down's play, even with the goal, you know, like how far off the defender, you know, the fullback line were at that time. And I know it was a great kick, like, you know, but there was just so much space in that moment, like, and I don't know, it's hard because you want to see that they want to try and get the likes of Murdoch on and Pat Haveren, but Pat Haveren has like, he found it hard going against Fermanagh the first day out in the championship, and he didn't get involved a whole lot yesterday, because obviously teams are looking at somebody like that and going, well, okay, he's their guy from range. Like, just don't let him get on the ball outside the arc. Like, and that sounds simplistic, but it's kind of been the way it has gone the last couple of days. Like, and he hasn't had that same influence. Whereas even in the league, Haveren was coming out and getting, you know, maybe winning a lot of ball around midfield and starting plays and so forth. And all, whereas he's just sort of, you know, his impact hasn't been the same. So, but I just think, as Gary said, like, I think the skills, there's a skills gap there, and there's a skills gap between Donegal and a lot of counties. There really is, like, and you know, with that skills gap just comes an unbelievable confidence, and you see that, and it all melds into one on days like that. You know, Donegal weren't at their best yesterday; they probably did have another couple of gears, but. And as you know, if the Shea Miller shot goes in, okay, maybe you're down to 4 points in. But I don't think anybody really would. I still think Donegal would have found a way to have wrestled back control of that game and to have seen it out.
Yeah, listen, I agree. There just was that. I think I suppose the crowd started to get behind Down, and just in that wee period where the 3 points was at, Haveren missed a 2-pointer after that. But listen, you mentioned Jim there. You know, 6 years now, 6 finals. I mean, it's crazy. You know, he's won 4 of them now, lost the one to Monaghan in 2013. That's it. And his record is absolutely phenomenal. A couple of words from here, Jim, just to caught up with him after the game.
They were patient on the ball. They were probably trying to slow the game down a wee bit initially. Flooded a lot of players inside and then looked to bring more players out the way, so to open up a wee bit of pockets of space there inside the D. And sort of we had to be patient with that, you know. And also championship games, in a way, that's one of the number one things you have to have is patience. They always end up coming to life at some stage. It's just important that you're ready for that and deal with that and hopefully take your moments when the moments come, you know. So yeah, listen, delighted to get over the line. Obviously, 2 weeks now. That was our third game today in 3 weeks in the Ulster Championship. It's a lot of going for the players and the supporters, I suppose, in many respects. But we're delighted to be in the final. Obviously, Armagh and ourselves know each other very well at this stage. Played them last year in the final and played them in the league last year. And we'll be looking forward to that challenge. You know, that
Crow Park or Clonus?
I would imagine it'll be definitely Clonus. But yeah, listen, we're delighted to be there. And you know, obviously they're All Ireland champions. Had a brilliant game last night against Tyrone, an enthralling game against Tyrone. So yeah, the massive challenge ahead of us, but we have to look forward to it.
Jim, you just... Yeah, listen, that was Darren Frahill butting in there, and the cheek of him, hi them RTE boys, how dare he. That full interview's up online there with Jim. We were talking about just teasing it out in terms of yesterday's game, much like we're doing now, folks. And, you know, that Armagh Tyrone game, Gary, what did you... Like, again, you can't separate these teams. And it just come down to the kick of the ball again. As there's no doubt in all surveys, it's going to come down to the kick of the ball. We probably had Armagh a bit spooked last year in terms of every time we played them. They look like they're a wee bit more comfortable now, skinning those tight zones again, coming down to the last, because Tyrone had them. You know, they had them on the rack, particularly that last play. I think of the Canavan turnover where he took an extra touch out of the ball. You know, they had the game in their hands.
Yeah, we had a club league game at the time, Brendan, you know, and people were throwing out the score every now and again from the dugout, so they were. And there were people, one time that came across that Armagh are throwing her well up here. Armagh getting well beat, and you know, I never heard any more. Then I just presumed in until a while after the game that Tyrone had won the game, and then when I started followed up and read up on it, then and saw the highlights later on, that, you know, they just seem a team that's further down the road than where they... That's hard to believe I'm saying that there, because they just won in Ireland, but they actually are further down the road than they were last year. They seem, you know, sometimes the celebrations can go OTT and they can wander well. They don't look like a team who's wandered well. They look like a team who's ready to go again, you know, and it's going to be, they're a frightening prospect for Donegal, you know. And as I said, my only fear from yesterday's game for us and Down is that Armagh might have been the biggest beneficiaries from learning what Down did, because they would have a better, more quality players than Down have at the minute, you know. And the way that Down, that first quarter, I think in particular, they will really dissect that and look at that and say, look what Down did to these boys, you know, look at the way they're able to get in. No one else has done that this year to the Donegal defence. So, but also I think Jim would probably be delighted that happened, because he has a stick to beat the boys with now for 2 weeks. Mm. You know, that we can't let Armagh do this to us, and that's probably a good thing it happened in the semi-final. You don't want it happening against your arch nemesis who have the ability to take you down, you know. So it's probably a blessing in disguise. Yes, we might be too happy with the way that they were able to get inside us and get scores, but you know, Donegal, Armagh and Tyrone, most people were saying, were the three that the Ulster title was between. And I think they showed over the weekend that the three of them are a good bit ahead of everyone else. You know, probably Derry have fallen off a horse, so they have well off the horse. You know, they had the players to be up there to make it a big four, but at the minute it's a big three. And listen, Armagh, you touched on it there yourself. We played them three times last year. I remember it was at the first game in the league. It was a draw. In, up in Armagh league final, we beat them by a point. Clonas, Ulster final, extra time, draw after full time, draw after extra time, penalty shootout, like it went down to the wire. There's nothing between these two teams, like, you know, it's like a grain of rice will tip the scales.
Yeah. Is it, Neil, what did you make of it? You know, it's amazing how much now Armagh get all the plaudits, when really a draw would have been, well, extra time at least would have been fair. You know, McCurry, what a game. Matty Donnelly not coming in. I mean, why they held back Michael Home for so long, I can't believe. You know, Petey Hart as well. But from the Armagh perspective, you know, Turbot back, Burns, you know, Callum O'Neill's been a big extra for him. Grimley still to come back. And, you know, Armagh looked like a much better squad this year than he did last year. Is that a warning sign for Donegal going into this final?
Well, when you think that they don't have Rian O'Neill, you know, and we're still saying that they look a more rounded.
He would be lording it, wouldn't he, on the two-pointers?
That's mad. Like, you know, so because the impact that could have made. But you're right, and it's funny, like, even the score that Soupy Campbell took at the end, like, in days gone by, I'm not sure he'd have scored that. Do you know what I mean? I think there's, like, maybe there's, and I heard Philly McMahon talking about, you know, that whenever you win in All-Ireland, what, you know, what it does with the way it elevates you, maybe without knowing necessarily what it is, but there's something that it puts in you that you only probably shows itself on days like that, where you know that belief that, I think, like, Armagh, probably there was always a bit of a fragility or a brittleness there in times during McGeaney's years, you know, and a lot of games that they should have won that they didn't, and they didn't sort of grab by the balls a bit, like, and just go and win it, and yet you see a game like that on Saturday where when it was in the mixer. And when it was there, and they had lost it, they had lost it. You know, with a couple of minutes to go, it was gone. To salvage that, like, that's a sign of a different Armagh to me. Like that's like, as I say, that I would have always had doubts about Armagh's, you know, kind of mental strength when it came to those kind of moments. Like, but I don't really have that anymore.
And yeah, agree.
So it sets it up, you know, as a different proposition for last year, because if you think after, you know, the last year's Ulster final was another hard luck story. Like, you know, it's hard to believe that it's less than a year ago now and all that has happened in between, but it, like, that was what it was, you know. It was, as you know, well, I'm sure from your part of the world, Brendan, like, the story was all, you know, about Jim's second coming and another Ulster title, but by and large, like, so many people were just going, oh my god, like, what have Armagh done? Like, it was getting to kind of Mayo curse levels,
yeah.
You know, and yet here they are sitting almost 12 months later as All-Ireland champions and getting into another Ulster final as a different team. So I think it's going to be great now. What way it's going to go, I don't know. I've backed Donegal from the very start, and I still sort of hold on to that. But I, like, Armagh just have the kind of
the look of a team that is going to be really, really difficult to beat this year.
Yeah, good man. I love it too. The second comment sounds kind of biblical. We are going to have a big Up for the Match show next Monday night, actually, in Sister Sarah's, where we're going to look forward to the big Ulster final that's coming. I want this all to come along. Anybody can make it. This near hand, Leonard Kinney is going to be spot prize and a bit of finger food on the night as well. But for now, Neil Lauren of the Irish News.
Good man, Brent.
Keep up the good work there. Everybody loves Irish News. Keep up the good stuff, my man. Thanking you.
Cheers, lad. Thank you.
That's Neil Lauren there of the Irish News. After break, we are going to hear a couple of words from Ashin Gallen. Actually, we're going to hear a wee bit of preview in the Under 20 final. And Barry Meehan's going to be joining us as well. Stay tuned. Yes, welcome back again, folks. I think five big plus points from yesterday for me. Langan back, getting fit. Gallen back, getting fit. The form of McBurdy. Murphy's leadership. Jason McGee getting back on the pitch and getting game time and them legs. I think that's five big plus points from yesterday's game against Down. After the match, Oisin got a couple of words with the man himself.
Okay, that's one of the main objectives of the Ulster Championship, was to get back into the Ulster final. Like, we know ourselves that no game in the Ulster Championship is going to be easy won. We've seen that last week against Monaghan and especially today too against Down. But regardless of the games, we're back in the Ulster final and that's where we wanted to be.
He's had a comfortable lead for three quarters of that game, but it was still a tricky one. Like, you went six up and then you were nine up and then it was back to five. But even despite having that comfortable advantage, it was still a tricky game against it.
Yeah, it was. I suppose we maybe didn't get as much of a lead as we would have wanted in the first half, because there's a breeze heading down towards them bottom goals in Clonus, and to be fair to Down, they kicked a few two-pointers from freeze and from play, and that just kept them in the game and kept us under pressure. We managed to see out the game, I suppose, the last 10 minutes really well. We kept the ball, and sure, once the hooter went in, we were delighted to just get it out off the pitch and get the game won.
Yeah, delighted to get back. What about your own performances over in recent week, Oisin? You're back in starting today, so you're starting to get back up to speed again, are you?
I suppose I had an unfortunate bit of an injury there, and I missed the last two league games. Just about got back in time for the Derry game and was glad to get minutes. And the same last week, got a bit more minutes against Monaghan, and then great to be in from the start today, but it's, again, probably just started cramping up near the middle of the second half, so just need to build the body back up again. But delighted to be back in to be helping the team. Yeah.
What was the injury?
I had a bit of a quad tear just from training just after the Derry game in the league. Yeah. But everything fine now, all good, feeling good, and looking to keep hopefully playing well now.
Okay, it's always good, the build up to Ulster finals and big games. You've just less than 2 weeks now for this, so the players all enjoy it, but a lot of hard work to do too, is there, Oisin?
Of course, yeah. Again, we'll get the body recovers this week, yeah, and then try to get a bit of training done towards the end of the week, and look to build in. Hopefully we're back in Clonus. No word yet, I don't think, about where the game's going to be, but it'd be brilliant to come back into a full house here and get the crowd going. It's one of the best days of the year, I think, along with the Munster hurling final and obviously the big All-Ireland days too, but nothing better than an Ulster final in Clonus, so yeah, Hopefully that's what it'll be.
He's a bit Normal already this year in the league, but listen, let's be fair about it. It was a league game, you can't really read too much into that. The next day is going to be a different encounter.
Yeah, of course. Like, and you seen them last night again. They've never say die attitude, and they're always staying in the game, and they're going to be tough. It's going to be a tough game. I think everybody's expecting that. So listen, roll on 2 weeks' time.
Yeah. Did you watch them yesterday?
Aye, we did. We watched them. Yeah. Close game again. It's a typical Ulster Championship game, but they hung on and they got the win. And I'm sure they're thinking the same as us. Just great to be back in the final.
Yeah, well, listen, enjoy the lead up now to the final. Thanks for talking to us. The best of luck, Oisin.
Well done, Noel. Thank you.
Good man yourself, Oisin Kelly, there with Oisin Gallen. I seen the Oisin come up there, put me off. Do you know, there's the Oisin Gallen mystery cleared up. What is wrong with Oisin Gallen? The whole county's asking, what's wrong with him? He had a thigh strain. Could somebody have told us that, Gary? Nobody knew what was going on, why we hadn't seen him at all. He was the only player, I think, didn't play some part in the final two league games. And then, you know, we seen him obviously come on and we were like, right, what is happening here? And then he starts, well, obviously, injury was curtailed and has come back. So listen, that's that cleared up. Anyway, welcome to the show, Barry Meehan.
Thanks very much, Brendan.
Barry, I was calling Gary here, the Guardiola. You must be the Arnie Slot then of the club football here.
The happy man after yesterday then, is he?
Don't go there.
Listen, tactics.
I have a young buck go running around the Liverpool jersey today, and he was Man United last week.
Oh, is he? Right. Good man. Jump on the right horse. He might be safer the way things look and keeping that Liverpool jersey on him. But anyway, we'll leave that to the other shows. Tell me, Gary, just before we get into club stuff here, under 20's big game now, Wednesday night. I mean, I've seen Donegal play a few times. They're unbelievably well coached. I mean, Gary Boyle and his team are doing a fantastic job there. And, you know, just in the form of, like, Keane McMenamin coming back in the last night, and obviously Rorty coming on as well. And that's added to what I've seen of them. You know, it's a phenomenal team that's been built there.
Yeah, really. And you talked about coached, like, they're superbly coached, really well drilled. You know, the likes of Gary Boyle and Shane Moran have done a superb job there with them. And probably from a Donegal point of view, the really exciting thing is, you know, there's only five or six of them over age next year. You know, this group's going to be here for a while. And listen, it's backbone by those four Masters lads. You know, there's five of them started there last week. And then Turla Carr came off the bench, who probably has been out injured for a while, missed games, who possibly could start as well. So, that's frightening to say that a team is five starting and possibly six starting from one club, you know, in an under 20 team, and they're all super players. But you talked there, I mean, you were talking during the week about Keane McMenamin. I just thought last week when he was unbelievable in that game. So I haven't seen too much of Keane because he's been injured a lot, so he has, unfortunately for himself, over the last couple of years. But he looked like a man who was just he was just held back for a year and a half, and he just let everything go last Wednesday night in Balbofade to have 1-3 from midfield, like in a championship, Ulster Championship semi-final. You know, I left with a couple of people and I says, that man there is going to play senior football for Donegal before the year's out. Like, you know, that's how big an impact he made on me, just watching him that evening.
Strangely enough, I ended up in a sauna from Port na Bla last week. Now, I didn't know who he was. He must have known I was, or he is shy.
Yeah.
Because it was only when I seen him out, we were hopping into the sea off the pier, and I was like, that boy's in some shape. And he did say something about playing with Terman. And then I thought myself, and then I was going up the road with the boys, and I mentioned it, and they showed me a picture. I was like, that's him, because I didn't know the lad. So, Keane, the next time you see me, say hello, don't be.
Yeah.
super
player, you know, and, you know, you had him and Sean Martin, the captain, in the middle, and the two of them held their own. And that Cavan team were no mugs, but Donegal just blew them away. So
18.1. Listen, setting up for a big one. We want to wish the boys all the best in it. I seen the Tyrone game before, just wondering how much learning did Tyrone take from that game. But certainly the Donegal, with those extra players, and they do look like they've all possible defensive shapes and tactics, and every dot and I will be crossed and T will be crossed. And Barry Meehan, looking into the club season, Barry, what was the setup with the new rules in terms of even training and preparation for this new season before we get into the opening league fixtures?
We didn't do away a lot, to be honest. I think we only had two pitch sessions before we actually played Kidore in the league. And we've said to the lads, like, to go out and play their own game and go out and make the mistakes, you know, and I suppose there's no better way to learn than actually making mistakes. Now, we made four of them at the weekend, four infringements, and it cost us 5 points, so we might want to cut down a bit there. But, no, listen, like, as regards probably the three up, is the big one, you know, even just being able to communicate that there, you know, suppose lads are that used to bombing forward and, you know, working back, that even just that their willingness to get back all the time can actually affect you now, because you could have been, it affected us the last night against St. Mike. It's like before we knew it, like there was a turnover around the 21, and boys just turned and sprint back after the ball. Before we knew it, we had only two up. You know, in the next minute they have a free right in front of the goal, they go out and kick it over for a two-pointer, you know. So, listen, from that there point of view, I think, you know, looking at it even early on, the solo goal's great. Like, it gets the game moving really, really quick, and the game's so much faster already. And even when you look at the results, even from Division 1, like, whereas the Terman had 23 points at the weekend, like, the scores are just going up and up and up, which is great. You know, there is the whole claustrophobia of defensive football doesn't seem to be there anymore, which is great. Like, you know, just something in it for the creative player. You know, the 1v1 tackler is kind of catered for. The athletes catered for, you know, when those counterattacks come into play, Kieran Murray yesterday, etc. You know, but it's just, I think it's a better game all around. Like, and whatever, as you go, you know, we're coached to the rules. Like, that's what coaches do. Whatever rules are,
that you'll coach to the rules, and suppose you learn from your mistakes as you go along. And suppose every time you take a knock, you learn from that there. So we didn't put that much emphasis on it in preparation for the league. We've just kind of gone out and just kind of had a go at it, you know.
Yeah, and Barry, do you get a wee bit of excitement there when you see Kieran Moore breaking up the pitch like that? Do you think, wow, I'm going to have that man at the end of the summer doing the same? Is that is that what crosses your mind at that point?
It does. It does. Like, and even like all across the board, even the first 4 or 5 games, like all teams, it's a far more enjoyable game to be involved in. You know, straight away, even from the get go, like, you know, even the first couple of games, you know, teams aren't even up to the pace of it yet. But it's more open. And even standing on the sideline watching it, it's far more enjoyable game to watch, you know. And even just players being more willing to express themselves, you know, and get their head up and even kick ball, you know, it's great to see.
That bit of space is there, Barry. Yeah. Gary, listen, I know you're big into your analysis. Gary, were you watching county games there and thinking this is working, that's working? Or is the county game that bit different that you could only kind of start to assess? And maybe did you look at your own squad then straight away and think, right, who's going to be the three? How are we going to be? Who's going to be our out and out man markers? Was there a kind of bit of an overhaul, obviously, look at your squad compared with the system that was being played in previous years?
Yeah, you know what? I was delighted, Bryn, that the county was on before the club league started, because like it was a massive learning for everyone. So it was that we had nearly had a free shot to watch games and see how the rules are being implemented, and not alone for coaches and managers, but for players. Like the learning's huge as well, and suppose for club referees to be able to watch those games and to see how the inter-county ref managing, you know, how they're managing. I suppose that's where it's difficult for the club ref then, that he's on his own in club league games unless he brings an umpire or two with him. Some of them do that. You know, it's a refereeing's a very hard job, and you know, my heart goes out to them, so it is, and I'm full of admiration for what they do. And you know, I think now they nearly need a wee bit of help, if it's a way that we could have the reserve ref maybe stay on for the senior game just to do a line to give him a hand afterwards, you know. Throw him a few quid for doing the extra game, just like a chat. Like, you only look at it because he's there already at the game, so it would make his job a lot easier, because games are tight in the league, you know, and it's all right for the likes of Barry there. He's never worried about relegation, so he's always going to be staying up. But nearly, there's a huge amount of teams fighting for points, and they're the likes of ourselves not trying to stay up. And wait, it's so difficult to try, you know. Players and managers are working really hard to try and make sure that they get the rules across to the players, and they're trying to learn, you know, when big calls in club games, you know, those 50 metres moving forward, you know, tight games, that could be a massive swing, you know, and you want your players to make sure they know the rules and that they're not getting caught in that, you know. Whether, and it is hard, like Barry was saying there about the three up in that, and you know, when we've got caught in, and when teams played against us have got caught in as well, so we've been the beneficiaries, but also it's cost us as well in games, you know. And it's actually 2 games, thankfully, not that we were involved in, but I heard in Division 1 this year happened that teams got black cards and red cards, and then they were allowed to keep 2 up instead of the 3 up.
Yes.
Of course, at the start of the year, that rule came in that you were allowed to keep 2 up. You didn't have to. And then with the outcry from the inter-county manager, said this was an unfair advantage. So wee things like that, because the rules are moving that fast.
The ref's obviously been told about that, but Gary, it was very hard for a ref then to assess that and go, oh, I was wrong. You might after the game, right? But it's very hard there and then, because he's trying to keep authority on that game. But something like that, Gary, that's obviously been conveyed, it's been on TV. It's kind of hard for me to understand how a ref wouldn't know about such a big change like that. You know, and even if he forgot it, or whatever game it was, if he was reminded of it, surely it would click.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, it changed so much so often. You know, and sometimes maybe people do forget. In fairness to the likes of Pat Walsham, they're putting in massive work and they're meeting the referees. And I know from talking to the referees at game stuff, they're meeting on a weekly basis and they're having chats and that. And even this week, Bryn, Carol Kane had a thing up there on social media, a 2-page document that was updated again during the week.
Yeah.
Like, you know, really hammering on steps. And if you noticed inter-county games the weekend, they really hammered on steps. There's a 2-page document again, you know, and the poor old club referee, I don't know, is he getting all that information as well? Like, you know, this didn't come to us. Right. This I just someone I happened to see in social media myself during the week. So there's my heart goes out to him. It's a difficult job. It's become more difficult, so it is. But in fairness, they're doing massive work, and the likes of Pat Walsh and that are trying to make sure that everyone is staying up to date with the rules. And, you know, it's just... It's all right that maybe this time of the year, early in the year, but later on in the year, maybe towards the end of the league or in Championship, we have to make sure we're getting everything right. Because
but the officials will be there in Championship.
Yeah, true. Yeah. But even at the end of the league, you know, when there's big games for relegation, you know, and those calls are going to be massive, you know, and we have to get them right, you know. But the other thing, I suppose, that teams are adapting to, you know, to it, and I think the more often it happens to you as a team, you know, even listen to Barry there, he's saying they've learned a lot from that last weekend. Every team is learning and getting better game to game because something's hurting them and they're trying to make sure it doesn't hurt them as much the next game.
Do you agree with that, Barry? And Barry, what has been your take on the fishing? Listen, this is not any time that we're giving off, because as Gary was saying there, it's a difficult job and it's changing all the time, but what's been your feeling overall? Has the teams been given the ref that bit of space, and has people been a bit understanding about the implementation of the rules?
I would think so. I suppose our first day out against Gidor, it was Jimmy, and Jimmy had Clint Aaron along with him. Clint was, he did the reserve game, so something Gary mentioned, and Clint stayed on. And actually, Clint was walking up and down the line, he was chatting to Jimmy, and he was kind of chatting to the two teams as well. Mm. And you know what? It was a very relaxed sort of atmosphere, because I think everybody is giving everybody that bit of space, because I do, like Gary said, it's very, very difficult for referees. Like, and I'll be very, very honest here, we got out of jail on Saturday night. We had an infringement that wasn't seen, and it was just impossible for the referee to see it. We hardly even saw it. We were only watching back in the video, and kind of we got a glimpse of it. But we should have had an infringement against us. If there was somebody on the line, that would have been called. Mm. So Michael's got an opportunity for a two-pointer and probably could have taken a draw. Now, so that was one that went our way. But like Gary says, mentioned, you know, about our reserve referee. What about, you know, the junior hustlers? Brilliant. You know, what about getting them involved? Mm. And even if they're not as much in the line, that they're standing there at the side where they can maybe call a three up or something like that there, just give referees a wee bit more support. I think they do need more support, especially with the amount of rules that were brought in. And as Gary says, you know, even the changes that came during the week. And I do think those changes were needed, because I would have seen in a couple of games where already there's cynicism starting to enter into it. So like, say, for example, guy goes up, catches the ball, comes down, turns, and runs into an opposition player on purpose.
Yeah. Mm.
I've seen that. I've also, and this isn't even just this, one of them was in a own game, but the one I saw in another game that I was watching was where they're just a solo and go, and they're running into players to try and get the ball further up the field. You know, so there's so much going on for referees to deal with. That's along with your basic tackling, steps, you know, support or protecting the player when he goes down to pick up the ball. So along with everything else, all these new rules are on top of referees. They do need support. And I think if you're going to do something, you have to do it right. And I know people are saying that, you know, later on in the year, there will be, you know, support for referees in championships. But why not bring in some of these younger referees now and give them a couple of things to look out for so that they can back referees up? Because referees do need support.
Yeah, good idea. And no giving off on the line there, Barry Boy, no?
We've been very, very well behaved.
No kicking flags at McGinney.
No kicking flags.
Biting the
you
tongue,
know what? Yeah. I think it's like, you know, I've seen somebody there recently. It's a bit like, I was the school I'm in out the road there between Letterkenny and Newton and Manor. And we have a traffic cam and measure outside the school at a certain time in the morning, you know, when the kids are arriving to school. And I look out the window some morning and there's cars going past our school at 100 kilometres an hour. But when there was a speed van there, there was nobody going past at 100 kilometres an hour. So when you actually have sanctions for breaking of rules, people will not break them. So it's a bit like that there now on the line. It's a lot quieter on the line, and you'll even, referees will tell you that they aren't getting the same amount of dissent at all on the pitch or off the pitch, because the penalty's too severe, you know. Yeah. So that there is a good thing.
And Gary, you obviously usually have a 14-man entourage there. You're going to have to keep everybody quiet.
No, that wasn't me, Bryn. what he got, but see, in Barry's point there, he's 100% right. I think what has helped referees big time is a solo and go, because if you foul me, Brendan, and I get up, I'm away. You can't give out to the ref because you're running after me then. Like, that has helped. And I know from talk, I was talking to a ref at a club game the weekend. He says, that has helped us massively. So it is. He says, no one can give out to us anymore, because if they do give out, it's a third scoreable free.
Yeah. Listen, I agree with you too, lads, and I love your attitude towards it. Great ideas there. If anybody's listening in there, great voices of reason, promoting the game. Let's get these new rules embedded in. Let's get our championship up, back, firing on all cylinders. I'm sure Glenn Swilly and St Unions have a lot to say about that. Lads, thanks for joining me this evening.
All right, Brendan O'Barr.
Much appreciated. Much appreciated as well to Neil Loughran, Joe Dex for producing. Stay tuned for the excellent Monday night sessions coming on shortly, folks. And I say, we are coming live from Sister Sarah's next Monday night. Big Ulster Championship final preview. Come down and join us between 7 and 8.